Good morning, beloved. As always, it is a tremendous privilege for me to be here. I want to thank you, Pastor Steve, and your whole leadership team for just inviting me here, and your kind words means a lot to me. I thank God for you, because I understand that being a pastor is not an easy office to help. I pray that the Lord continue to bless you and your family and just sustain you guys. And beloved, all of you, I'm extremely grateful. I really mean that. For all of you. I have so much joy in my heart to proclaim God's word to you this morning. Are you ready for it? Yeah. Amen. Now, before I get into it, I want to give a quick little background, as Pastor Steve mentioned earlier. In May 2010, shortly after the Lord has saved me from hell with an offer to eternal life, I left West Palm Beach, Florida, and moved to Kentucky. What was I thinking? I ended up at Whitney M. Young Jap Corps, just about a block from here. I did not know much about Jap Corps. Quite frankly, during my time there, I was extremely shocked because I did not have any warning whatsoever about the atmosphere there. I wish someone from Florida had the guts, the audacity to warn me about what to expect at Jap Corps. Now, don't get me wrong. I do not regret any of my experience at Jap Corps. God used it and blessed me there tremendously, especially through some of the most amazing, incredible personnel there. But again, it would have been a loving thing if someone knew the good and the bad about Jap Corps and shared with me. Nevertheless, Simpsonville Baptist Church, by the grace of God, you have been a loving church to me from the very moment that I landed here. I did not know what a local church was until our dear beloved sister Shirley Reagan and her husband brought me into this community. Do you remember her? Yeah, praise God for her. Y'all embraced me with love. You guys introduced me to Sunday school, fellowship, discipleship. Some of you, you're in the room right now, some of you took me in your private home, not just one night, but for days and weeks, several months, if not years. We shared a delicious meal and discussed the Word of God together. I tell you what, some of you have the gift of welcoming people in your home. Some of you has a heart to love people. Some of you have this really have the gift of hospitality. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you helped me understand the Word of God more effectively. That was a big deal, beloved. It helped me enormously to guard my heart and my mind in the midst of a crooked and dark community that I was living. I remember one Sunday morning walking into the church and was feeling overwhelmed and weeping over over the many sins that my eyes were witnessing either in campus or at the mall. And I came here, you consoled me. I needed that. Praise God for that strength. You have taken me to several mission trips in the state. You supported me to go overseas to my homeland so that I could minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost souls. In addition, as I was seeking first the kingdom of God with God's help, I found an amazing and godly wife in Haiti. And now God has grown in us into a beautiful family of three. Praise God for that. I was baptized here by your pastor, here in this local church. Do you remember that? 11 years ago, I remember that. In fact, the night before, I was watching a movie. Can never forget that. I was watching a movie in the gym at Jalco with hundreds of other students. And right next to me with a young, attractive, lesbian girl. The devil sent her my way to flirt with me. I must admit, the temptation was real and intense, but God's words prevailed. I needed a warning, though, beloved. I needed the whole truth. Randy Alcorn, in his book, some of you might read it, Heaven, says, and I quote, "We must not believe Satan's lie that it is unloving to speak to people about hell. The most basic truth is that there are only two possible destinations after death, heaven and hell. Each is just as real and just as eternal as the other. Unless and until we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, we are headed for hell." He goes on to say, "The most loving thing we can do for our friends and our family is to warn them about the road that leads to destruction and tell them about the road that leads to life." End quote. Now, please turn with me to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 27. I titled this message, "Make Up Your Mind." Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 27. Jesus goes and said, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Those who find it are few." Verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or fig from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Oh, what a striking statement. "But the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven, on that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name? Or do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Everyone then who hears this word of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wind fell, the flood came, and the wind blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been found on the rock. And everyone who hears this word of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The wind fell, the flood came, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Let us pray. Oh God, What a great privilege that you gave me, O Lord, right now, this moment to proclaim your word. Lord, please give your people ears to hear, heart to receive your word, even myself, so that we can glorify you. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save us from hell and give us eternal life. May we rejoice in this even now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Jesus' most famous sermon in the Mount, when he get to the end of the sermon, he's speaking some of the word that's most striking word, shocking. Remember, Matthew tells us that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. He is the one who came to fulfill, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. He's the one who came to help us understand what the Old Testament really meant. Jesus was dealing with a lot of religious people who think they're okay because of their self-righteousness. They think that they have done so much thing. They are good people. They have a very low view of goodness, very superstitious. So Jesus gave a command. If you notice in verse 13, he says, enter by the narrow gate. This is one of the most foundation doctrine for Southern Baptists. We believe that Jesus is the only way, like he says in John 14, he's the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. There's only one gate. Not all world leads to heaven. Not all world leads to Rome. Only one gate, Christ, Jesus. So Jesus says, you must enter through me. You must believe in me. Enter to the narrow gate. It goes on to say in verse 13, it says the gate is wide and the way is easy that lead to destructions. It's a warning right there. Those who enter by it, here's the sad part. Those who enter by it are many. He's talking to religious people. He's talking to the crowd. And in the Gospel of Matthew, you got all kinds of people, right? Jesus in the Mount. So he's talking to a lot of different people. But the disciples were there too. So Jesus is telling them, look, the gate, the wide gate, many are going to choose that. Why? It's easy. It's no different today, beloved. You know that. You open the television, you're gonna hear a lot of people talk about heaven. But it's a different heaven. A lot of people talk about one gate, narrow gate. But it's not. It's the different. It's going to be a different result. But Jesus says, you got to enter to the narrow gate. What does that mean? It's like in Acts 4:12, when Peter and John were standing before the council after they heal a lame man, and then they continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many people who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they got saved, and then they attacked them, and then they said, you guys cannot keep on doing this. They goes on to say, Peter told them, look, there is salvation and no one else, for there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Why? Jesus is the only one who came into this world to live a perfect life that we could not live. He died a death that we deserve. He went on the cross. He resurrected by the power of God, and he offers salvation to everyone who believes in him. He's the only way. Now, even that, sometimes it's not too hard to to challenge people about. Because, you know, okay, yeah, okay, Jesus is the only gate. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. Okay, I believe that. But here's the thing. Jesus says in verse 14, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Those who find it are few." It's not easy to even find the truth like that. It's not even easy. So you should be glad when you have a church, you have a pastor that's preaching the word of God to you. Oh, you should rejoice in that. You see, because Jesus says it's not easy. Because you see, just because people are talking about Jesus, you got to pay attention to them. They may talk about a different Jesus. You see? The Muslim talk about Jesus. It's a good God. He's a good person. He's a prophet. But is he your Lord and your Savior? Is he God? Is he your only hope? Is he the only way for you to go to heaven? Is he the only gate? Some people will talk about Jesus, but it's a Jesus plus. There's no such thing as Jesus plus. Jesus says, "I am the only way, the only gate. You must enter to that gate. Otherwise, you will be on the way to destruction, hell, calamities, torments, forever." So, beloved, the gate is narrow. It's narrow. The word is narrow. That's the thing. Not only the gate is narrow, but the road is narrow. How do you know you enter the gate? Because you're going to be in a narrow road. If you find yourself in a wide road, I tell you what, you have not entered the narrow gate. Now, he goes on. It's a very simple end here at the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus is giving contrast here, right? Two gates, two roads, you choose. Make up your mind. Verse 15, he goes on to give more. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." You see, even me just now, some of you know me, obviously you've been around for 11 years, but some of you don't. How do you know who I am? How do you know I'm telling you the truth right now? Unless you know your Bible. But you see, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit." How do you want to recognize them? Not by what they say, but what they do, their lifestyle, their conduct. How do they live? Again, I remember when I first moved here, again, I mentioned that at the introduction. I did not know what a local church is. My only church was TBN. I just got saved in Florida, West Palm Beach, 2009, going to 2010. And then, you know, of course, I live with my family, who all of them were Catholic, so there was still a little bit of, I'm still under leadership there, right? They still the leader, and I still have to obey to some degree. So we were still going to Catholic church. A lot of time I go there, I didn't hear the gospel. Just my personal experience. I did not hear the gospel. Sincerely, it's almost like I want to vomit. Give me a word. But you see, even at that time, I was listening to a lot of preachers on television, quite frankly. I thank God for the moment. Probably needed at the moment, but now I realize, wow, I can't believe I was listening to this. I can't believe that I was listening to how to live my best life now. I can't believe that I was listening to a certain feeling good kind of stuff, prosperity kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So here's what I mean by that. Be careful who you're watching, who you listen, the radio. Just because they have the title Christian, just because they have a big placard to say, a gate, this word going to lead you to heaven, just because they're talking about Jesus. Jesus said, be careful. You recognize them by their fruit. Here's the thing. Every tree that bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased bear good tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you recognize them by their fruits. Beloved, Jesus asked this question. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or fig from thistles? I mean, the question is, you don't even have to be a farmer. Of course not. If you are a true believer, if you have entered the gate, if you indeed were, this is the thing, beloved. And I was just, this young man, named, he sat down right there, Vernon, he goes to Central High School. Young man, just went to, I work for FCA, by the way. And this young man, you know, he told us a couple days ago that the Lord has been doing some work in him, right? And he went to a camp at Western Kentucky, and he came back and just started talking about how God is moving in his life. I rejoice with that. But I tell him all the time, even as we were driving together in the car, listen, I have no concern. I'm not, listen, if God did a work in you, I want you to know he's not going to stop. You know, and Philippians, Paul reminded the audience that he will begin a good work in you. He's going to complete it. He's going to finish it. The idea is if you have entered the narrow gate, if Jesus is truly how you enter the gate, you're going to be in the narrow road. You're going to bear fruit. There is no way you're going to be the very same person. No way. God's going to change you. You're going to recognize. People around you should know that you're a believer. Not because you're going to say, oh, I'm a Christian. I baptized 11 years ago. I came to Sam's of the Baptist Church. No, I can preach the word. No, none of that. More importantly, can people see actually fruits that last? Fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the patience, self-control. Do you hate sin now? Or do you still love your sin? You see? Do you recognize them by the fruit? What has your lifestyle? How's your lifestyle? How do you conduct yourself when nobody's around? One of the things I tell Vernon, I told him, look, one of the best ways you know if you're a true believer is when nobody's around you. How you interact with God? Are you weeping over your sin? You know them by their fruit. Jesus goes on to say more in verse 21. Not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord. Again, this is one of the most shocking verse in the Bible. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not only you have to be very careful of false preachers like me, okay? Got to be careful with preachers, pastors in television and radio, evangelists, prophets. A lot of them I was watching. I used to listen 10, 11 years ago on television. Not only you have to be careful, discern those things, but now you have to be careful of false disciples around you. And maybe you want to start from yourself. You see? Am I truly safe? Am I truly enter the narrow gate? Because Jesus says, look, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. This is someone who make a confession. This is someone who's in church. Remember, Jesus was talking about a lot of religious people. They have a superficial view of goodness, so they thinking they're okay. You know, I pray loud. People can, you know, I pray beautiful. You know, I give money to the poor, right? Jesus deal with all of that in chapter 5, 6, 7. Tell him, Jesus is trying to destroy the whole system. Telling them, look, there's nothing good in you, nothing. Of course, as a believer, you must do good works. But when it comes to salvation, you cannot earn your way there. You cannot pay for it. Somebody pay for it. Only Jesus Christ. So, be careful too. with false disciples. Jesus says, they will say, Lord, Lord, but they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? Not everyone who say, Lord, Lord, would enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. Two kinds of disciples, two kinds of gates, two kinds of way. Which one are you? On which road are you? Which disciple are you? You don't want that happen to you. See, this is a warning. I feel like when I come here, I'm glad Pastor Steve mentioned that, I feel like family. I love you guys. I love this place. I love this congregation. You introduced me. You helped me to know God more. The Bible, that's what it's doing right now for all of us. God, Jesus loved us. He loved the disciples. He gave them warnings, not only from hell, but how to live their life here on earth, how to conduct their life. He really called them to live a different life, a different kingdom life. You do not want to be and this position where Jesus says, I never knew you, depart from me. Why? Because everything you were doing was in vain. You got to come to a point in your life you realize, apart from Jesus Christ, I have no hope. I have no salvation. If there's no gospel, there's no salvation for me. If Jesus did not resurrected, I have no hope. I will be the most pitied people in the world. When you have that foundation strong, deep in you, oh, beloved, he changed everything. Everything starts changing around you. And that's what Jesus says at the end here in verse 24. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the wind fell, the flood came, the wind blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been found on the rock. And everyone who hears this word of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the flood came, the winds blew and beat against the house, and fell, and great was the fall of it. It's not saying, okay, this is another example of two kinds of people there. One is a saved man, one is a lost man. That's it. You see, there's no in between. Sometimes, you know, we're trying to, and I feel guilty of that sometimes. If you want to pray for me, you really need to pray for me to have more boldness, more courage. Some of you might think, oh, he's very bold. Listen, sometimes I'm so weak. Sometimes I'm so hypocrite because I see people living a certain way. I see people, I need to remind them. If I really love them, I should warn them. Sometimes I fail to do that. And if you do too, I hope this morning that we all come into conviction. Listen, my beloved, this is real stuff. There's only two kinds of people in this world. There's only two gates. There's only two roads. You either children of God or you children of the devil. You either belong to God or you belong to the devil. There's no in between. There's no such thing as, oh, you know, I'm not too bad. You know what Jesus said about these kind of people in the book of Revelation? He's going to spit you out of his mouth. You're lukewarm. And it's not about personality. You need to be a radical in a crazy way. Listen, it starts from the heart. Jesus told you that. Be careful. It comes to you. Sheep clothing. But inwardly, they do not know God. They have no relationship with God. They have no love for God's people. They have no sense of love for holiness, righteousness, goodness. Is that you? What foundation are you in? Be careful. you have entered the narrow gate, you're going to be like this man. He heard God's word. He obeyed. James says, James 1, I believe, 20, 22, somewhere around there. James says, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. You see, if not, you're going to be like a man who goes and watches yourself in the mirror, and then you goes away, and you forgot what you look like. It doesn't make sense. What makes sense, you look yourself in the mirror, you said, if something's wrong, you say, oh, something must be done, right? And the same way, when you hear God's word, if you have entered the narrow gate, if God has changed you, if indeed God has saved you from your sin, as a worship leader mentioned, if God has taken you from darkness into his marvelous light, listen, you are going to be in the narrow road, very difficult road. Why is it difficult? Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. If anyone wants to be my follower, you must hate your mother, your sister, your brother, everybody. Why? He's not saying literally that in the sense that you need to go and hate people, but the idea is you're going to love Jesus so much more, it might look that you'll hate everybody else. That's how much he's good. That's how we're supposed to see him. And if indeed you have entered the narrow gate, you're on the road, you are sanctified, you are being grown to the Christ-likeness, you're going to bear fruit. Not only are you going to bear fruit, not only that, but you're going to have a foundation that's strong. You're going to want more of it. Right now, some of you love this. Give it to me. Help me. I want more. But if it's you right now that's like, you don't want to hear that? Oh, you should be very afraid. You should be very afraid. You should cry to God. God, change my heart, please. Help me to receive this word. It just happened I'm preaching to you, but really I'm preaching to myself. I hope you're one of the people that say, oh, God, save me. Save me, Lord. I want to be real. Save me from my self-righteousness. Like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. What must I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, okay, go and sell everything you have and then come back and follow me. And he goes away sad. Why? Because he loved his money more than he loved God. And then he thinks it's okay anyway. Oh, I did this, I do that. Start telling him, hey, what about this commandment? Do you do this? He said, oh, yeah, I do that. I did pretty good there, pretty good there, pretty good there. Well, yeah, Jesus showed him, really, he break every single one of them. Because you break one, Jim says, you break all the commandments. See that? So what Jesus is trying to do, even at the end of the sermon, he really wants to destroy, to really help people realize there's nothing they can do. You got to start with him. You got to start with Jesus Christ. Recognize who he is as a person. He is God. He's God. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was with God at the beginning. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made, and him was life. He goes on to say that Jesus came into the world. He came to his own people, the Jewish people. The Jewish people reject him. They did not receive him. John 1:12 says that he came to, but to those who believe in him, who receive him, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man, but of God. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot earn your way to heaven because you were just brought up to a church family, because I go to church, because I give my money, because I'm a good person. None of that. You must be born again. You must experience regeneration. Is when the Holy Spirit come into your life and changed our heart, our mind, and change us, the heart of stone that we have, that cannot obey God, that cannot receive God, that cannot choose to enter the gate all by itself. Holy Spirit will come and give you a new heart, a new mindset to believe, to recognize that Jesus Christ is the only gate to heaven. Only hope for my salvation. Apart from him, I have no hope. That's what Jesus wants the religious leaders to understand. That's what he wants the crowd, usually the people who just follow Jesus, but astounding about what he was doing, but never commit to follow him. And then, of course, the disciple, he wants them to know that he is the only hope. And that's what I have for you this morning. I want you to remind, some of you, it's just a reminder, maybe. Some of you are visitors, maybe some of you are just stopping by today, or maybe you've been in church for a long time, but you never realized. You've been very self-righteous, maybe. This is an opportunity for you. Jesus gave you a command. Enter the narrow gate. He loves you. It's not too late, as long as you're still breathing. Choose God. Make up your mind. May the Lord help you to do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God. Oh, holy, holy is your name. You are so righteous, so perfect, God. You love us so much that you sent your only Son into the world to save all of us who are sinners. And we also understand, God, that you also just. You are vengeance, God. You must condemn those who do not belong to you. Oh, what a striking word you said in Matthew. We read it, Father God. You said that many will enter the wide gate. Many will say to you, Lord, Lord, but they will not. You will not receive them. Why? Because you never knew them. Oh, God, I pray that this is not for Simpsonville Baptist Church. Lord, I pray, oh, God, everyone in this room, including myself, my family, oh, Father, please open our heart, the eyes of our heart to receive you, to believe in you, to trust you. Oh, help us to be like the Apostle Paul. Oh, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Help us to be able to say that with conviction, with power. Help us, oh God, to die to ourselves, to die to our self-righteousness, to realize that it is worth so much, Lord, because you now are only righteousness, our only hope. Paul says he considered all those things, all his self-righteousness at first, he considered them now trash, garbage, dung, because of the surpassing worth of knowing you as the only hope, the only Savior. Oh God, I pray this is what's happening here in this room. Do not let any of us, oh God, walk away in this building, Father God, not trusting you. May it be your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.